how's everybody doing? Welcome to the first segment of Motorcycle Madhouse Morning Mayhem. The second segment immediately after this video happens over on MotorcycleMadhouseRadio.com or the Discord server. We're going to be talking about a big, big subject today, and that is Maurice, or also known as Mom Boucher. He was the leader of the Hell's Angels Nomad chapter in Canada, and he has ties to the Lennoxville Purge, as well as the Great Quebec War from 1994 to 2002. This guy was like an Al Capone up there, like it is in Chicago, whatever you want to say. He was freaking a gangster up there. That is the guy who led the war against the Rock Machine, something that we'll be talking on tomorrow's segment of Motorcycle Madhouse Radio. And man, this guy was something else, I can tell you. We're going to get into the material instead of me doing a monologue. We're going to get into the material right away and then head on over to the radio station to have some fun with China Doll. Let's get it going here. Anyway, here's a little background on him.
He named Maurice Boucher as the man who gave the order to kill the prison guards. The Hell's Angels leader went on trial for murder.
Now, there was two prison guards that he ordered killed, and one of the reasons why he ordered them killed was he was taking a lot of his stuff from the way the Colombians did. They wanted to intimidate prosecutors, law enforcement. That's how they did it down there. And that's what he wanted to do, was mimic them. Let's go and look at some of the stuff that Wikipedia has on them. And it's very interesting, the history with him. Because he used to be a fellow member of Salvatore Cazzetta. They were a part of a club called the SS. It was a white supremacist club up in Canada. But Salvatore, he went a different way than Mom Boucher did. He started the Rock Machine after all this nonsense was going back and forth. That was in 82. He was a member of the SS who were based in Pointe-aux Trembles on the eastern tip of the island of Montreal. The SS was a working class type of deal, which most clubs are. They strongly opposed non-white immigration, the whole nine yards. You know how that kind of stuff works. One of the members of the SS was one Norman Bill Hamel, who was to follow Boucher into the Hell's Angels. A lot of stuff around that era is when the Hell's Angels were flipping clubs up there, expanding, trying to be the only club up in Canada, the main powerhouse. So a lot of the guys in the club scene back then knew that this was going on. A famous one, the Popeyes up there, flipped to the Hell's Angels. A lot of them weren't happy, but they did it. But that's one point I wanted to bring up about this Salvatore Cazzetta, because it leads into tomorrow's segment about the Rock Machine Hell's Angels War. And that was a bad one, man. That was one of the worst biker wars there were. I think it was 162 murders over a nine-year period. It got pretty serious up there. We thought the Scandinavia one was pretty bad. No, it was pretty bad over there, man, in Canada. He had a mixed type of existence, if you will. And here's where his connection to the Lennoxville, Quebec chapter of the Hell's Angels murders and stuff like that. He was more of a businessman than he was a biker. He liked making money. He liked running it as a business where the Lennoxville, Quebec chapter, they just wanted to party. They wanted to be who they were. You know, they were bikers. They didn't want to wear suits. A lot of the times you would see this guy wearing all the gangster garb, man. All the gangster garb, he wore it. And that's where a lot of people have problems with the new generation. They're mostly in gangster freaking garb. You look at Australia, for example. They make some money over there, big time. And they run around with these expensive cars, these expensive houses. And it does put a blight on the biker scene. Now, in 84, it's said that Boucher held a gun to the head of a 16-year-old girl and threatened to kill her on the spot if she did not have sex with him. Now, he was convicted of rape. Now, one of the things, and this is, I guess, where the different cultures come in the United States, he would have been kicked out. He would have been probably beat to death for doing something like that, a rape of a 16-year-old girl. That was a pedophile type of action. But I guess it didn't happen up there. Boucher managed to illegally collect unemployment insurance while I was in there. Shortly before he was released in 86, a clerk finally noticed that the address that the checks were being mailed to was a prison. In 86, soon after finishing his 40-month sentence for armed sexual assault, he joined the Hell's Angels Motorcycle Club in Montreal, and that's where he quickly rose through its ranks. He became a patch member in 87, 3 days after the murder of Martin. He was a rival outlaw, a leader of the Death Riders. It is widely believed that Boucher killed him to become a full patch member of the Hell's Angels Montreal chapter, which at the time was the oldest and most prestigious chapter. Then there's a crime type of deal. Jerry Langton, he described Boucher as a big and strong and not afraid to fight anyone, and smart and charismatic. It's always the charismatic ones that really lead those that don't think for themselves astray. Sad state of affairs, man. And it's one of them type of deals where these kind of people will follow these guys off of a clip. Again, for one, I can't believe that the Hells Angels in Canada let in a pedophile. The dude was convicted of rape of a 16-year-old girl. He also had interesting deals where he hijacked trucks and stuff like that. Then they talk about the wars that he was involved in, one of the biggest ones being with the Outlaws, and then the Rock Machine. Now, again, with Boucher, he was gangster, man. I'm talking, he even went after the Canadian Mafia up there. He was actually convicted of that, and he had to serve 10 years more on top of the 3 life sentences. But let's take a look at this one here. The informant who helped bring down Mom Boucher, this is when he was released, but this is the guy that was like a Sammy Bull Gravano, I'd have to say, man. He was that close to him. And one of the things that brought down Boucher was being convicted of the murders of those prison guards. Now, in the United States, everybody knows, hey, you don't mess with the freaking cops, DOJ, all any that. Because when you kill one of them, you're bringing nothing but heat hardcore down on you. Every law enforcement agent is going to come for you. So, trying to emulate the Colombians, I don't think was a smart move on their point. Because the Colombians, they have a different system of government. I'm talking, they have everybody on the payroll. Mexico too. It's just system of government down there is different, where they lay off these drug cartels, but at the same time, if they step out of line, they're going to kill you. They're going to shoot you up, and then they're going to shoot your family up, and then they're going to shoot up your descendants. It's just going to keep going and going. That's how ruthless these drug cartels are. They have no morals. But for him to try to emulate that was just craziness, because Canada doesn't have the same government that Colombia does, or Mexico does, or any of these freaking countries that rely on bribing politicians and stuff. You gotta admit, he was smart. The Montreal chapter of the Nomads were making some hardcore money. Hardcore money. And with Boucher, you kinda can compare him to a John Gotti, where he thought he was nothing but untouchable. Nothing but untouchable, this guy. That's the way he thought. And it's them guys that actually are the ones that get brought down the hardest. They really are. Let's see here. This Montreal Gazette article. And this is where I was talking, where he got a new 10-year sentence on top of his 3 life sentences. His daughter was all messed with this stuff. And here's what he had to say. All is good before the sentencing. He's already serving 3 life sentences related to the murders of the 2 prison guards, an attempted murder of the 1. He aged big time in prison, man. It's funny, behind bars, they were trying to kill him and stuff like that. Kind of like what Gotti went through with the Black Gorilla family, I believe, and needed the Aryan Brotherhood to step in on his behalf. But you know what? The more notoriety you have, the more that you're going to be targeted in prison. This was in regards to a murder plot against Reynold Gennardis. He was an influential figure in the Montreal Mafia, which is pretty interesting with their syndicate up there. It's actually not a family up there, if you ask a lot of people. It's actually an extension of the New York families. Mostly, I believe it's the Bananos, but I'm not sure. The sentence was part of a common suggestion presented to the Superior Court by the defense lawyer. It's not like he's ever going to see the time of day. 3 life sentences. What are they, eligible for parole after 25, since it's a different type of deal up there? I don't know. I guess he's a former member now. I don't know if that's true or not. You know, you would think somebody like him would have kept, you know, with the club. But who knows? You never know with these news articles if they're telling you what's up or not. I know his daughter, she pled not guilty to being in possession of proceeds of crime. She pled guilty. According to the summary of facts, she's pretty hot too, man. She was paid a cut, referred to as rent or taxes, of the profits on drugs sold. Between 2011 and 2015, her cutout worked to about $1,000 a month and came from traffickers who sold drugs like cocaine in the neighborhoods her father ruled over. Was clearly the leader of the Hells Angels, Montreal, in 1990s. It was basically, what they're calling it was an allowance. Yes, she was making an allowance from all this. But hey, I guess if your dad's a freaking hardcore freaking gangster, and you know what? You would have to give the Angels a lot more respect than what he did. Let's just put it that way. Because you got people all the time trying to separate clubs from these gangster activities and stuff. Then you got these guys up there that pulled on this. Dude, they were making some big money, man. They were in bed with the syndicate. They were major players in this type of deal up in Canada. But this segment is basically just to give you an overview of what we're going to be leading into tomorrow as far as the Quebec biker war between the Rock Machine as well as the Hells Angels. But one thing that I can't get over, and I don't know what you guys think, but I can't see how the club, even though it's two different countries, would accept a pedophile, because that's basically what he was a pedophile. He raped a 16-year-old at gunpoint. He got the sentence for it. He was found guilty. So how the hell he even imagined he even got into that club, I have no idea. But I got China Doll in here with me right now. We're going to go to the second half of Motorcycle Madhouse Morning Mayhem over on www.motorcyclemadhouseradio.com. We have all kinds of fun, man. We get into all kinds of subjects. I think you'll enjoy it. Go on Discord if you want to see us live over there on camera. I'll talk to you over there. Get over there. Switch over.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls,
I'm in the mood for something just a little bit wild.
God!
Now or never, here it comes.
Take yourself on a journey into the unknown.
Yeah!
Are you ready?
Attention.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Hey!
Hurry, boy! Ready, rock!
This is good stuff. I want to share something with you.
You're listening to Motorcycle Madhouse Radio, WMMR-DB Rockford.
You know what? That kind of reminds me, you know, the guy in the jungle swinging from the rope and, you know, Ray! You know, screaming and stuff like that. It reminds me of you when you, you know, you wake up.
Tarzan? Or what the hell?
It reminds, you know, you're Jane.
Okay.
So we were having fun last night. You know, we had a 2-hour show, man. I was just into it last night.
Everybody, I didn't even know you were having a show.
Well, you know, I get a bug up my ass sometimes, and I say, you know what? I'm jumping on the fucking radio. I want to screw around with everybody. This week, what is it? Saturday, we're going to have our members-only chat.
Are you?
Yeah, don't you
Yeah.
Have off?
Yeah, I'm here.
So what time you want to do it?
Don't we usually do it about 7?
7 would be good. So let's have our members-only chat at 7.
Okay.
I got to do a members-only live stream where everybody's calling in and stuff like that. That'd be fun. But last night we had like a 2-hour deal, and it was fun as hell. You know, I think your gay friend, he was a little, wow, what the hell just happened here?
Oh, oh my God, yeah. I had the show on, and he's like, oh my God, he really is chatting it up, huh?
Well, it is a radio show
and
there,
like,
bud.
Well, yeah, this is like every day, well, every morning.
Usually, right.
You know, normally every night, but now it's, the, you know, the nice weather, got to go down to one night a week. I guess he was bored.
And then, you know, we had some weird stuff. We found out that Big D's a trans. And that was weird.
He likes nylons.
He likes nylons, mm. Which, hey, each their own, man. Each their own, you know.
It's all good.
Yeah, but his, that's his new nickname, Trans D.
Trans D. I think he's going to frown upon that.
Well, you know, it happens. I told, you know what? I warned him, don't ever give me ammo.
You'll use
it. It's just something you don't do with me.
No.
You know, you give Hollywood ammo, you know, I talk about my personal life on this show, but throwing me ammo, man, I'm going to put it out there. There is nothing sacred when it comes to the Hollywood and China Doll show or Motorcycle Madhouse Mayhem.
Yeah, it's no holds barred.
Yeah, you just can't do it. But you know what? Like I was talking about last night, I am kind of disappointed in my guys. You Vipers were whooping their ass again yesterday.
Yeah, it happens.
it's like, holy shit, man, here it is, a biker Discord, and next thing you know, these damn freaking women are just knocking the shit out of these men. It's like, seriously, where did your balls really go?
Some of them might not have dropped yet.
None of them dropped yet.
It happens.
It happens. It happens. It does. It happens.
It happens. What are you going to do? But, you know, it is what it is. I think he looks cute in nylons.
What?
I'm just kidding.
Dude, he looks like a hairy Sasquatch with nylons.
I was kind of, like, disturbed by the photo. Thanks for doing that for me, though.
That was one of those Exa sketch moments, right?
I couldn't.
You know, then you put, what's it called? You put your picture up in the Discord channel.
Yeah.
I think, yeah.
Wearing nylons. Yeah. I think I win.
I think you do.
I think I win. I'm the cute one. Sorry.
You are. Sorry. But like I said, you know, yesterday, I was like, you know what? You'd get more pecker if you dress like that a lot more instead of being lazy.
Why? You want me to dress like that for a show or something? That's
no!
Like weird.
You know, you're a nice romantic Hollywood night.
You ain't romantic.
And make it about me.
You ain't romantic.
I'd be more romantic
no, you
if
wouldn't.
You dressed like that. No, I was a lot more romantic. It's like, okay, instead of, you know, two pumps, I go 2 minutes. That's romantic to Hollywood.
Oh my God, no. That is not. So far for you in between.
Oh, then I have my flossy in there, man. My UK flossy. You know what? I'm just so fucking... You know what? I asked for pictures of nylon women in there, and I didn't get any but you. What the hell is with that? Nobody loves Hollywood.
Now they like me more.
Yeah, I bet, man.
Just saying.
So, your gay friend...
He's not my gay friend. He's a gay...
Oh, you know. He wants to take you to the office. And yesterday you told me, because I wanted to do a funny interview for the show. Okay?
Yeah, I frowned upon that suggestion.
You were pissed at me about it. Why the hell were you pissed? I wanted to do a funny show.
You want to do a funny show which contains of you interviewing trans guys, gay guys? No.
Should I interview Big D?
Well, there you go.
No, I'm just talking about, no, anyway, I want to do that. I think I got some good interview questions.
Like what?
Why you wear a dress, jackass?
No, you're not going. No, you're not going.
Okay, what if I rephrased it?
To what?
Okay, why you wear a dress? You're a dick. You got a dick.
Oh my God, dude, no. You're terrible.
I think it'll be funny.
No, it won't.
I think my audience would really find that funny.
No, I don't. I think no. They could watch you get your butt kicked by a bunch of gay guys.
Yeah, right. That ain't going to happen. What they'll scratch my eyes out is what they'll fucking do. They would. They'll scratch
Dude,
my
I'd
eyes
scratch
out.
Scratch your eyes out if you did that.
You know I wouldn't be so mean.
Bullshit.
I wouldn't. I'd be direct. But
yeah, exactly
mean.
Direct. Mean.
You have no faith in me.
None. None whatsoever.
I really do. I think people, like, go fucking Mm-mm. crazy.
They make... No. I think it'd be frowned upon in society.
I don't care what society thinks. I'm a biker. And you know what? That's actually what a biker was supposed to be, was, you know, who cares about what society thinks and do your own thing. And now they're all caught up in this political bullshit. You know, it's crazy business, man.
Okay, you have one person that'll find it funny.
Yeah, no, he just said it. Let's see here. Shocker, my sister-in-law, that fucking viper. Stop it, Hollywood. I don't see you being romantic kind. Hell, you probably haven't even tried the pickles. They tasted good. They're good for hot dogs.
That's about it for you, huh?
That's about it for me.
The petite pickles.
The petite pickles, like you. You're petite. Yep. So when are you going to go visit this gay bar? You know what? Maybe I should let you do the interview.
Yeah, because I wouldn't be like you.
Okay, what kind of questions would you ask them?
I don't know. I think of things on spur of the moment, depending on the conversation.
I can't even be a cameraman?
As long as you're a non-talking cameraman.
You know that would not happen with me.
No, then
you know what you
can't
need
go.
To do? Here's what we're going to do. We're going to have a funny interview with the China Doll. It'll be your first interview. You go with your gay friend to the gay bar and get me an interview with all these trans, you know, the women with freaking dicks, and we play the interview.
At least I'd be nice.
Yeah, but you got to be funny. You know, you got to say, you know what, my husband, you know, he wants to know why you wear dresses when you got a dick.
But I already know the answer.
Okay, what's the answer?
Because that's what makes them feel comfortable.
Wearing a dress?
Yeah.
They got balls.
So?
You know, well, I can't bang, man, because, you know, our boy Rubix, he wears a dress and his balls hang out and stuff like that. Is that like a trend or something I don't know about?
Not that I'm aware of.
You know, because, you know, here
if it was a trend, it'd be on TikTok.
Well, here I am thinking, you know, D's a manly's man. Next thing you know, he winds up in fucking nylons, man. What the hell? I don't know people.
What were they anyways? Pressure nylons?
I don't know. I don't look at that shit. I look at women with nice asses and boom, thick legs.
Well, we've seen plenty of Big D's ass during shows.
It happens.
Yeah, it happens.
But you never know. You think you know somebody and it don't happen that way.
Well, you know. You find out something new about people on a daily.
So did I get a new listener yesterday? Did this gay guy like listening to me? Or is
he listened and I no.
He thinks I'm too gross or something?
Too vulgar.
That's what he said. I was too vulgar.
Yeah.
Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
I ain't no fucking vulgar.
Dude, yeah, you are. You were talking. The part he heard was how you know you're the two pump or 2 minute man, and how I'm like
I'm a 2 minute man
like
when
I'm
you wear nylons.
Like
you,
I'm
actually get pissed at me for calling you that.
Yeah, I do. Cause, dude, in two pumps or 2 minutes is not enough time for me to have a response.
Well, you know, it happens, but you know, I told you, you wear some nylons, I'll go 2 minutes for you. You know, maybe two and a half before I have to get back to work. But I didn't get a new listener yesterday?
No.
He didn't like me?
No, he thinks you're crazy.
Well, you know, maybe I should go and interview him. Why you suck dick? Oh,
Stop it.
Yeah. You know what? It just comes out like trash, okay?
Why don't you answer Gray Star?
What did Gray Star say?
Just answer.
So BD said this summer is going to be bad in the biker sect. Do you all agree? It could be. Let's hope, you know what? There are, different alliances taking place that I'm not going to tell you about. So it could be, it couldn't be, you know, it could go either way. It's a 50-50 toss up.
It could go either way, like me.
Hopefully it's, like you. Hopefully it's like, it's not like 1994. That would be terrible. But when you, start moving into other people's territories and stuff, you know, you get what you get. Let's see here. Shocker. Hollywood interviewing a trans. Oh my God, no. Why? I'm a nice guy.
No, you're not. No, you're not. You're not a nice guy. Not in that situation. You need to just leave that idea alone.
I'm going to set up the interview, and you better do it.
No, you need to leave it alone.
You do it. I won't do it. I won't be there because you'll probably be all nervous with me there. You don't want to ask questions. You don't want to ask the hard stuff. See, when I interview somebody, I ask hard shit. I don't let them go by. I ask the hard stuff. You'll probably be nice.
I would be nice. I'd ask questions, but I would be
you'll
nice.
Probably be there saying you
I not. Would ask how old were they when they realized that they were in the wrong body.
What do you mean the wrong body? God gave them that body.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't mean that they felt right in it.
What, are they high?
No.
See, you don't ask questions. You gotta be hard. And you gotta make it funny.
See, but there's some situations that don't end up being funny.
Can I go interview the gay dude?
Ron? Why?
Dude, I got like horns on my fucking head right now.
Grandpa Slayer said I should ask, hey, so what color lipstick do you like?
Well, you know, we have to ask Trans D that. You know, I'm not gonna let that fucking shit down. But we're gonna be taking our first break here, and then afterwards, we're gonna talk. You know, you remember the 80s slasher films, right?
Mm-hmm.
That was a fucking craze back then. Everybody wanted to kill everybody.
Yeah, like
and shit.
Freddy and Jason and yeah.
There's actually a story behind that. That some of it was true life shit. You just mentioned Freddy Krueger.
Yeah,
there was actually something they pulled from with Nightmare on Elm Street that actually happened. But we'll be right back after this music break.
Yeah. can't give up, I can't give in. When all is lost and daylight ends, I'll carry you and we will live forever, forever.
Brotherhood and Betrayal is an in-depth look at the trials and tribulations of street gang and motorcycle club life. This isn't the run-of-the-mill book that doesn't get the goods. This book will go into detail of events that actually happened. All materials in this book have been approved by those involved. There is nothing poetic, nor is there any price worth paying for the life we choose to live on the streets. James Hollywood Machikari, Brotherhood and Betrayal.
As defined in the American Heritage Dictionary, second college edition, the noun rock is defined as a relatively hard, naturally occurring material of mineral origin, a naturally formed mineral rock.
That's not rock.
Play with the devil, die with the devil.
Now, back to good, wholesome, politically correct entertainment.
Oh, yeah, you can get your copy of it's Brotherhood and Betrayal. I always get all my books mixed up.
God, what's wrong with you?
Yeah, we got it to where you get signed copies. It's $20, lower 48, or you can contact China if you're in a different country and stuff like that. Hey, guys, man, you know what? They're collecting your balls. I got my Canadian Princess Donna out there talking shit, and then I got my UK freaking queen out there, Flossie, talking shit, and you guys are just sitting there letting your balls be cut off by these women. What the hell is wrong with you guys, man? You guys are freaking killing me, man. You know, and then I have to freaking deal with China now making fun of me at nighttime because my anti-Viper League has its balls cut off. Anyway, we're going to go into, this is very interesting stuff. And I, you know what? China Dow loves this gross ass shit.
So, okay, I do.
She loves these horror films, but then she can't sleep with the damn closet door open because she's afraid some old lady's gonna cut her in the neck or some shit. What is with that?
I told you it has to do with my childhood. My closet door was left open, and I woke up in the middle of the night, and I was like super cold, and I looked over. And there was a little old lady in a rocking chair. It's creepy.
So, it's creepy, but you watch all these slasher films.
Yeah, cause some of them make me laugh.
What slasher films do you like the most?
I don't know.
And they came
all
in...
All the old school ones, but the problem is they went too far with a lot of them. Like, okay, Nightmare on Elm Street. Yeah, they went too far.
Well, that's just like Friday the 13th. What are they up to, 20 now?
Yeah, I don't know, but they went too far. And then they had Freddy versus Jason.
I liked that movie.
That one I liked. It was entertaining.
That was funnier than hell, yeah. Man.
And then they got Halloween.
I liked the first Nightmare on Elm Street. That was a scary one.
Well, the part ones of all movies are good. It's when they keep going with it and they drag it out. It's like you already know what's going to happen because, you know, okay, Friday the 13th. With Freddy Krueger. The minute you hear his nails, you know, the claws.
Dude,
you know somebody's going
to
die.
You should try to freaking deal and watch with these things when you're high, dude. As soon as you hear them screeching nails, you're like, you killed my buzz, Freddy. What's up with you, Homer? It's like, what the fuck?
I know.
That's some bullshit.
But it's like, you know, after the first, you know, movie, you can kind of predict when people are going to die. So I'm like yelling at the TV or whatever, don't go in there.
And why is it every damn time that they're running, they trip?
Oh, you mean like J-Man just did on camera a little bit ago.
Oh, J-Man fell and busted his ass?
You missed it. I saw it.
What the hell happened?
He set up his phone, and he was backing up, and he tripped over a jack stand.
Get the fuck out of here. Not only can my guys not fight back,
I don't know if anybody caught it. I think I might be the only one that caught it.
They're falling and busting their asses.
I so saw that happen. I was dying during the show.
But do you notice that every slasher film, they're running and they fall and bust their ass?
Yeah.
And next thing you know, they're getting killed. What the fuck is wrong with them?
Every time. Or they're in a sex scene and they both die.
Oh, dude. You know what? Jason, man, he knew how to fucking ball break, man.
He was a cock block.
He was a cock block like a motherfucker, that Jason, man.
Almost every time there's a sex scene.
You know, there
was one of them dying.
There's that one scene where the two were screwing around, and he put something through both of them. I was like, dude, you're a dick.
He's vicious.
Yeah, man. They're getting it on and stuff like that, and he kills the broad and him at the same time. They stuck them together. He impaled them.
Mm-hmm. Like Alora said, Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Me? Yeah, I was over it after the first. I wasn't a big fan.
I like the Matthew McConaughey one. See, Matthew McConaughey, he knows how to act. I really like that actor.
I do too, because he's hot.
Well, you know, you like him for one thing, but I like his attitude on things.
I liked him in Magic Mike.
Is that like who you dream of when you're
Matthew McConaughey?
Yes.
Yeah, he's one of them. Yeah, I ain't even gonna lie.
He's running for governor of Texas, I hope. Mm. You know what? He has that down-the-middle thinking like I do. It's like, fuck both sides. Let's do good for what we want to do. But I liked him in Texas Chainsaw Massacre. He really played a creepy-ass part, man.
I like him in almost all his movies.
You know, now here's the backstory on Freddy. Nightmare on Elm Street.
All right, what's the backstory?
Here's where they got the idea from. He said, Wes Craven, you know, he was a slasher film legend.
Hell yeah.
Just like, what's his name was with, freaking the zombie movies. It'd come to me. Wes Craven said his inspiration for Freddy Krueger's power to slip into people's minds and murder them in the sleep came from reading about a series of mysterious deaths. All the victims had recurring nightmares and died in their sleep. The Los Angeles Times in the 70s published an article detailing a family who survived the killing fields in Cambodia and fled to the United States. Their son often experienced terrifying nightmares of being chased. He would try to stay awake for days at a time, but when he eventually fell asleep, his parents heard loud screams and discovered that he had died during one of his nightmares.
That would be freaky.
That is where the inspiration for Freddy Krueger came in.
I mean, I have nightmares, but geez. That's pretty intense.
That's pretty intense right there. You know, he probably, you know what, those killing fields in Cambodia, it still goes on today, man. Them people are always killing each other over there. But genocide is like a motherfucker out there, man. And the guy died, and the kid died in his sleep, man. But that is the inspiration for Freddy Krueger. Now, in the movie, he was what? He killed kids and stuff like that, and they caught him in a warehouse. And the parents killed his ass, and that pissed him off. He came back and all that shit.
Yeah, he came back and basically started killing the kids of the families that burnt him up.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's the thing about that one. But he was pissed.
What did you think about the second and third one?
For what? Nightmare on Elm Street?
Yeah, I like the ones where
there's way more than second and third.
Well,
you know?
I know, but I like the one where Dokken was in there. With their song Dream Warriors.
Yeah.
That was a good one.
That's a good one.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, I can only handle so many of these. They keep making too many.
Uh-huh.
It's just like, okay, stop it.
Right.
Stop it. Stop making them. But I will say the Freddy versus Jason one was pretty fucking cool.
It was. Now, another one, and this had to do with the first one. Scream. You remember that one?
Oh, God,
Scream,
yeah.
With that mask. They
it's like a parody.
No, but this was the actual real one. I'm not talking about the parody one.
Oh, the actual Scream?
Danny Rowland murdered five University of Florida students. What, did he take his freaking cue from Ted Bundy? Anyway, over 4 days in the summer of 1990, the massacre of students and terror, this inspired, formed the basis of the storyline for Scream. Let's see here. Quote, my aunt and uncle were at UF at the time, and it really had the entire town in a state of panic. Fleeing the town, bolting doors and windows, dropping out of classes. Sadly, one of the victims was my mom's cousin. But that is the backstory of Scream and how it started with this Danny Rowland massacring students. What did he watch? Too much TV or some shit? I bet he was a slasher film freaking fan.
Probably.
I wonder if in real life some of these people that are mass serial killers and shit take their cues from the 80s movies, man. Because that's when it was at the height, was in the 80s.
Yeah.
Was these
the 80s and films. Early yes. 90s, yeah.
Exactly. So you have to wonder, you know, what hell happened with them?
Because a lot of the horror movies nowadays, they're just like, they're blah.
They're not that good.
No.
I think they overemphasize all the technology aspects, all the graphics and shit like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Instead of sticking to the one.
Go back to the basics.
Right.
You know, they should go back to the basics and just don't overdo it with the technology.
Well, you know, that and don't overdo it with 20 freaking Jasons. How many times you got to kill this motherfucker, man?
And he's still not dead.
Yeah, it's like, what the hell are you going to have to do, man? You're going to cut his head off, and then he's going to freaking carry his head and still kill your ass.
Probably.
You know, it's messed up stuff, man.
It's crazy. It's crazy.
Now, you were talking about the Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's loosely based on the actions of a real-life murderer, Ed Gein, who, like Leatherface, would also mutilate the bodies of his victims and wear skin over his own. That is messed up, man. What the hell is wrong with people? You crazy, man.
That's disgusting.
But that is some of the basis of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. He's also known as the Butcher of Plainfield, or the Plainfield Gaul. He was convicted of murder and body snatcher. What's funny was, it wasn't in Texas.
That's what cracks me up.
It was in Wisconsin.
So why'd they call it Texas Chainsaw Massacre?
Well, this is the basis of the movie.
So it's just basically where they got the idea from.
Right. Now, this was in 1957. The authorities discovered he had exhumed corpse from local graveyards and fashioned trophies and keepsakes from their bones and their skin. He also confessed to killing two women, tavern owner Mary Hogan in 1954 and hardware store owner Bernice Warden in 1957. You know what? It's actually kind of funny. Back then, they didn't have the technology we have, like the CSI shit, where you can't get past all that bullshit. But back then, it was horrific, man. You wouldn't know who the hell was doing it. And this dude, he just looks like a regular old Joe Schmo, man. But those are the ones you got to watch out, man.
Yeah, because you never know what's coming.
In 60, let's see here, he was initially found unfit, and he was confined to a mental health facility. 68, he was then judged competent to stand trial. He was found guilty of the murder, but he was found legally insane and was remanded to the psychiatric institution. He died at the Mendota Mental Health Institute of Respiratory Failure at 77, and he's buried next to his family in Plainfield Cemetery in a now unmarked grave. You know what's even worse about this stuff is when it does have a true life story, they gain like fans and shit.
Mm-hmm.
They leave shit at their gravestones and stuff like that. That's like Al Capone. They had to move him because all that kind of stuff.
John Belushi, too.
John Belushi, too.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, damn, man, you get a following for being a serial killer and shit like that? What kind of sick-ass people are out in this world?
Well, it's like any, you know, any person that's made well-known, you know, their cemetery plots are, like, not going to stay pretty.
Right. Flossie, that was a hardcore one. Hills Have Eyes. That was some serious business right there with that fucking film. But that's where the Texas Chainsaw Massacre came in. Now, they were talking, what is this one? The Exorcist. You know what? That scared a lot of fucking people. The broads fucking head turning and shit like that. Can you imagine that?
That's creepy.
Dude, I'd be like, you know what? Get the fuck out of my house.
Spewing that split pea soup.
Right. You'd be calling on the old man upstairs real quick. Anyway, everybody knows about the Amityville Horror one. There was a movie in 79 and 2005. And it follows the real life story of the Lutz family, who were said to be haunted by ghosts of the victims of a brutal murder that took place in their house in Amityville a few years before they moved in. This was one of the earliest cases that Ed and Lorraine Warren worked on, and one of the most disturbing. Now, that's where ghosts go crazy, man. It's like, dude, here, you want to join or something? Calm the fuck down.
Yeah, slow
that roll, man. Let's sit there and talk about this.
Let's talk about your problems.
You don't have to be an asshole. You don't have to be throwing chairs all over the fucking place. Be cool.
I gotta wreck the house.
Yeah, man. Come on, man. We can all coexist here, man. You don't have to be dicks.
For real.
You know, but this was pretty scary, man. Pretty scary. And you know what's even worse is when you have to distinguish between if they're real or not, but some of these videos on YouTube, like the one that keeps freaking me the fuck out is that one Chinese mortuary one where they had those gray CCTV cameras and shit, and you can actually see the soul coming out of the body. Now that freaked me out. You know, I don't get freaked out by much, but that freaked the shit out of me. You know what? I'll never watch that high because my high is gone when that shit happens.
Did you pee yourself?
I almost did, man. I was like, you know what? They just caught freaking proof of life after death right there. But, you know what? I don't get what the problem is with these ghosts, man. They have to be dicks. That's not cool, man.
I think they're just doing it out of anger because the people are invading their turf.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like a turf war.
Right.
Yeah.
And then another one of Ed and Lorraine's real-life cases was The Conjuring. Okay? The Conjuring. That happened. That was a movie out of 2013. It was based on the Perrone family, who was said to be terrorized by hauntings. Here's another one. Ghosts being dicks. From their previous homeowner, a suspected murderer, Bathsheba Sherman. Over the course of 10 years, the movie itself is critically acclaimed for its slightly too realistic portrayal of the family's demonic haunting. Now, what was that one with Nicole Kidman? The whole movie, it was like, okay, she's real and shit like that.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, she was the fucking ghost. You know, a good movie there. I gotta find the name of that one. But what makes it to where you're a woman, you know, sometimes. What
the fuck sometimes?
You're a woman sometimes. But anyway, what makes a woman want to kill their kids?
That I have no idea. That's disgusting. I would want to kill the woman that killed her kids. Just saying.
Mm-hmm.
Though, that's just wrong. I personally don't like watching movies that
have I hate that. Like that Susan Smith bitch.
God.
Drove her car into the freaking lake or whatever it was, killed everybody except herself.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it always the murderer lives?
You know, that's a good question. I would like to know that too myself. I would really love to know why is it she's the murderer survives shit like that.
Right.
Because isn't the whole point for y'all and just then to they go make, at the same time?
And then they make a movie about it and make it to where she was the victim.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way these people in Hollywood do it.
She ain't no victim.
Hell no, man.
She's sick.
In
the head.
Big time freaking sick.
She got issues.
Issues is fucking right, man. So we're going to be right back after this freaking music break with some more.
Yeah. Today's music, yesterday's hits. Dance in my car, nonstop music.
Okay, before we get back to our subject, we're going to go to some news. And Hollywood is flaming pissed right now.
Ruh-roh.
I am flaming pissed. Every Memorial Day,
yeah,
the vets, it used to be called Rolling Thunder, descend on Washington for a rally.
Right.
Tons of people come. Now, usually they use the Pentagon's parking lot.
Okay.
Well, they were denied a permit.
Frickin' really.
But it was blamed on coronavirus. We all know that was shit was going to happen.
Yeah.
But guess what?
What?
Just in now, 4 hours ago, the fucking BLM was just approved for that permit.
For the same location.
For the same deal that they use every single year.
So the vets got dissed.
For these BLM fucking pricks.
That's just wrong on so many levels.
I am so sick and tired of this.
How in God's name does the BLM...
I hate that organization.
...override the vets?
I'm talking, I hate that organization.
Yeah, I see why you're pissed now. Because now I'm pissed.
How in the hell does that even happen?
That's bullshit.
I am so sick and tired of these leftist pricks. They're the ones leading us to civil war. It ain't our side. It's them.
That's... Yeah, dude, I'm kind of speechless with that. That's frickin' just so wrong.
Representative Brian Mass of Florida, more than 30 other Republicans, why ain't them all pissed about this? Pressured Biden, which nobody, that fucking cocksucker ain't gonna do nothing. You like how I did that with him, right?
It just sounded like you almost threw up in your mouth.
They asked him to override the Pentagon's decision to block the veterans group from staging a rally in the Pentagon parking lot, which they do all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I would have hoped that Biden would have more respect for more Memorial Day tradition. No, they don't respect our veterans. They want communism, and they're stirring you idiots who vote for them right to it. Look, you know what? I just got it from Dark Soul. The gas lines are unbelievable on the East Coast right now. It's like the 1970 oil embargo going on right now because of one pipeline that went down over a hacking incident. And these idiots want to close everything down. But to deny our vets this has got me burning. Now, special events confirm AMVET's permit for rolling to remember on March 11th, but later reversed this decision. Whatever. Republican leaders, not one Democrat in there. Not one. That's pissed off about this.
No, of course not.
But BLM, they can get their shit. Why are these freaking feds so afraid of these people? I am so tired of them using this racism bullshit. That is what's putting people in tribal corners. That's what's starting the racism is them. They're using the playbook out of Stalin on this shit. But that just came in that the BLM is getting their permit, but not our people.
Not the vets.
Not our vets. Sad state of affairs right there, man. Other news, the Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine is going to be rolling out with kids. It was just approved for kids 12 and up.
Yeah, but isn't Pfizer one of the ones they first took off the market?
No, that was Johnson & Johnson.
Oh, that's Johnson & Johnson. My bad. My bad. That was my bad.
That was your bad.
That was my bad.
Now, you know, here's another thing about Biden's come to America. Where he got open arms. There was abandoned migrant kids all under 7 years old, found hungry, crying near the border, but had to be rescued by a Texas farmer. Come to America, they say. It ain't true that kids are being taken from their families and being used to get over the border.
I thought that's what was going on.
That's messed up, isn't it?
What? None of that shit makes sense.
None of these people make sense on the left. None of them. They're bastards, if you ask me. And people keep on voting for them. Oh, mean tweets. We don't want that. But we'll have gas that's over, three something right now, by you?
Ours went from 309 to 319.
Then you got these gas lines that are reminiscent of the oil embargo. They had them lined up blocks upon blocks to get gas.
I heard some. I mean, I don't know if this is true. Those of you that drive trucks like Dark Soul, I've heard some places they're having a hard time getting diesel.
They're all having problems because that oil pipeline that was hacked provides most of the oil to the East Coast. And you know what the White House had to say about it?
Probably nothing. They were probably
even
closed.
Though this is a national emergency. They said, oh, that's a private sector problem.
Oh, I thought maybe they
again,
would just be closed.
You idiots voted for this guy because you didn't like the other one's mean tweets. This country's going to fucking hell in a handbasket.
If you don't
man.
Like somebody's tweets, don't follow.
It is. And you know what? They follow the media so damn much, it's unreal. Let's get into some other good news here, though. The Canadians, you know what? Our Canadians up north, man, they can play hockey like a motherfucker, man. Hmm. The Canadians clinched a playoff spot. They lose 4-3 in overtime to the Oilers. The Flyers end a crushing season with a 4-2 win over the Devils. I don't cover basketball. Sorry, guys. I don't cover football. Sorry, guys.
We're a hockey team,
I'm
family.
I'm a hockey guy.
Yeah, hockey.
And my Cubbies, you know. Other than that, go fuck yourselves. I don't want to listen to them idiots. Anyway, so let's go back to our good stuff. That's your news for today. That has me pissed that they denied our veterans that shit. That's got me pissed. Anyway, there was one thing in the Discord channel in general chat. You know, we're talking about ghosts. We're talking about the slasher films and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Do you think that animals can see something that we can't?
100% yes. I 100% think they can.
Expand.
Okay. Like when the situation occurred with me when I was young and living at home with the old lady in the rocking chair in my closet, I had a cat.
Mm-hmm.
What woke me up was the cat was sitting on the ground, staring at the closet, meowing like weird.
Mm-hmm.
Like not like a normal meow, like a weird one. So that's what woke me up. And then I saw what I saw.
Right.
But the cat was still staring.
Was it like in a protective type of stance? Or
yeah,
what?
because like all the hair on the cat's like back was like standing up.
Right.
So it was like a fearful kind of meow or something.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was loud.
Well, here's some signs they claim. The first one, if your pet is following something invisible, they might be sat completely still, but their eyes are darting across the room. Or they might get up and follow the thing with their eager noses.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen a cat do that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It's like they can see three-dimensional.
Okay, like our dogs will sit outside my closet and stare at it.
Yeah, our little Jack Russell.
The Jack Russell does it. And then she'll occasionally actually walk in there and walk right back out. And then when she comes out, she runs downstairs.
Uh-huh.
So, I don't know.
Our pit bull is too lazy to get up.
Nah, she don't care. She don't care.
Another thing is they bark or they hiss at nothing.
Mm-hmm.
They'll bark at something or hiss. Especially when you're the only one at home, they say. Well, you and whatever your pet has taken a disliking to, honestly, this could mean they've heard something you haven't. And animals, they got some damn good freaking hearing, man. They can hear the high-pitched noises way before we can hear anything.
Okay, well, here's another example. I did, you know, I'm a TikTok junkie, so I did a TikTok video, and you basically have the camera not facing you, and it's you have it go around your room. I posted it. But angel wings appear if there's someone there to visit you.
Do you believe that thing?
And when I did it, it's really weird because before I even did that video, both the dogs were on the bed facing that direction.
Wow.
And just like staring and not moving. I think you're letting not making a sound.
I think you're letting your mind go crazy. I don't think a TikTok app.
No, because I think it was very weird that I went around the whole upstairs that day with that thing before I made the video. And the only spot...
This is what China does.
And the only spot where the wings came up was right in front of my dad's photo.
I think you taking that TikTok a little too serious.
I've done other apps that did the same shit.
An app on a phone, I don't think...
I don't care.
I don't think...
I just think it's too coincidental that it was right there.
Interesting.
And right where the dogs were staring.
I live with the fucking nuts. Anyway, they look for comfort or trying to protect. They might start acting anxious for no reason at all.
Oh, I can guarantee these dogs hear stuff we don't hear. Because there's been times when, like, Xena will sit up out of a dead sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And just... her ears will go up and she'll just start looking around and I'm like, I didn't hear nothing.
Well, you know, you're not going to hear anything because they got more...
They got more sensitive hearing.
Yeah. That creepy, ain't it?
I think our house is haunted.
It is an old house.
Well, what? We used to make jokes when we lived out in Chicago about...
Yeah.
A ghost in our basement, and the kids named him...
I don't know.
The kids named him Max.
The first thing I would say to a ghost, you know, a ghost appears and shit like that, it'd be, hey, you want a joint? I think that'd be the first thing that came to mind. You want a freaking smoke?
You would.
Pass, you know.
Puff, puff, pass.
Yeah.
Yeah, you would. But I think.
What would you do if you seen a ghost?
Honestly, I'd probably just sit there and stare. And be like, what the fuck? Why are you here?
That's what you do?
Either that or I'd try to take a picture of it because I'm a dumbass like that. No, I wouldn't piss myself because I believe in that shit.
Okay, you say you wouldn't piss yourself, but you won't sleep with the closet door open.
Nope. And when I come home from work and see my closet door is open, I'm like, who the fuck opened my closet? All the time.
But you're sitting here saying that, you know, you wouldn't say nothing or you wouldn't freak out.
I would try and take a picture.
You wouldn't even try to communicate?
Yeah, I would.
You know what? I think a ghost would take me up on my offer if I, you know, pass them a joint.
They'd totally take it.
Hell yeah, man.
Of course I would try and communicate. But it's like the first thing I'd want to do.
It wouldn't scare the shit out of you.
No, because I believe in that shit. I believe that it does happen. What? I like ghosts and shit. That's my shit. I love that shit.
Why?
Because it's intriguing.
Well, you know, Halloween, old Michael Myers, the slasher film that set off everything.
Halloween, my sister's birthday.
Carpenter, he said he visited a local mental institution, and he's seen a young boy no older than 13 with a schizophrenic stare. And he explained that the boy's black, soulless eyes and pale, emotional face inspired Dr. Loomis's quote in the movie when he described Michael as having the blackest eyes, the devil's eyes. This visit had an immense effect on Carpenter, and this boy inspired Michael's demeanor. So these directors and screenwriters, they're taken from real-life events that somebody else either experienced or themselves and putting it into a slasher film. But can you imagine that? And I've seen some of them kind of people with the schizophrenic stare.
Yeah.
They are blacky-black, them fucking eyes. And it's like, damn, man, what's up in there, man? What you doing? What's wrong with you? You need to get high.
Makes you wonder what's really going on in
there. Right, and especially with them kids, man. And, you know, what is it? On Law & Order, you've seen some of them cases where kids just kill another kid and they have no feelings about it.
Yeah, no emotion.
Yeah, where the hell does that come from, man?
Well, I've watched a lot of that stuff, like Kids Behind Bars.
Uh-huh.
Is a series that I watched the whole thing. I binge-watched it. And a lot of it is kids that killed kids. And they didn't even think twice about it. There was no emotion, like, when they went to court and stuff like that.
Right.
They get sentenced and they're just like, whatever.
And then finally, he took some influences from the Celtic tradition when it came to the holiday of Halloween. He and Hill were intrigued by the festival of Samhain and the notion that dark souls are let out on Halloween and they wreak havoc on the living.
That's cool. Makes me want to go to the cemetery and hang out by the witch's baby.
You know what? I think you'd shit fucking bricks if you seen a ghost. Don't sit there and tell me you wouldn't.
I think it's cool.
You would shit
I'd wanna
total
know,
bricks.
I think the first thing I'd want to know is why the hell did you appear to me?
Well, you know, you are a ditzy blonde. Anyway, guys, appreciate
Rude.
You guys hanging around for the show today. Longer show today with me and China Dow, man. I think I should just keep waking you up earlier and earlier.
No, you shouldn't.
Because, you know, before you came on, you're like, I tired.
I'm like, I'm tired.
Right.
You got me in here 15 minutes sooner.
There you go. Anyway, guys, appreciate you guys hanging out with us. We'll see you tomorrow. You're back over to Auto DJ.
Bye.